Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from Exodus 12, verses 1 to 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We take this moment, Lord, to pause for a while and to gather our thoughts together. This is a very difficult passage to understand. This is a very difficult time to understand as we think about what's going in the cenotaph in Streetsville right now. And we pray, Lord, that this passage and this Remembrance Day that we are observing today will kind of coalesce together and give us a word from you. We do not know how this is going to happen, but we do pray that you would give us humble hearts as we trust in you. May your Holy Spirit come upon us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. And the people say it. Amen. So God appears to Moses in a burning bush in Midian. We've been reading about this bush for the last 2 months. And Moses is looking after the sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro. And God says to Moses, "I have heard the cries of my people in Egypt. I will now send you and your brother Aaron to demand the release of my slaves, of my people Israel, who are in slavery in Egypt. I will ask you to ask of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, for their liberation." And so Moses and Aaron arrive in Egypt, and they are asked to show the signs that God has asked them to show. And the first sign they show, as we illustrated around 3 weeks ago, was that Aaron throws the shepherd's staff on the ground, and it becomes a snake. But we also see that the magicians of Pharaoh are able to do the same thing too. They throw their staffs on the floor and it becomes snakes. But the snake that comes from Aaron's staff or God's shepherd's staff swallows up the snakes from Pharaoh's magicians. And I believe that this sets the stage for the confrontation in the book of Exodus between the signs of Moses from God and the signs of Pharaoh's magicians. And it is like a war. It is like a war between God's signs and Pharaoh's magicians. And then we read in Exodus 8 to 10 these strange words. Pharaoh hardens his heart, or God hardens Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh and his magicians stubbornly refuse to let Israel go. And the God of Israel demonstrates his might. And he then sends 9 plagues upon the land of Egypt. He turns the river Nile into blood. He then sends the plague of frogs, the plague of gnats, the plague of flies, the plague of death to Egypt's livestock, the plague of boils, the plague of hail, the plague of locusts, and then 3 days of darkness. And even with all these plagues, Pharaoh hardens his heart. He remains stubborn. And even though the people of Egypt are experiencing such turmoil and pain in their lives, Pharaoh is bent on keeping his slaves, Israel, in Egypt. And so we can imagine what the land in Egypt looks like after frogs, gnats, flies, dead livestock, boils, hail, locusts, and darkness. The land of Egypt looks like a war zone. It is the 10th plague that is most gruesome of all. To protect Israel, this is what Moses tells the people of Israel to do. Each household is to take a lamb for themselves. The lamb must be 1-year-old males without defect. They are to slaughter that lamb at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. And I want us to read these verses right now because they tell something about the God of the Passover. It talks about the holiness of God. Shall we just read these verses again? On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is something that we don't hear preached often these days. And this is something about what I call the holiness of God. We hear a lot about the love of God, and we must hear a lot about the love of God because we live in a world that's so damaging to us. But we also need to remember that the glory of God also brings us to the holiness of God. And that night, the holiness of God became real in Egypt. The Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night. There was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. There was grief over the loss of loved ones, like the grief of the people who are lost in war. And the difference between the homes that experience death and the homes that do not experience death is this blood of the 1-year-old lamb without defect on the doorpost of that house. That lamb is sacrificed to save the firstborn son of that family. So last week at communion, I shared what it took for a father to give up his son as we partook of the bread and the cup. God gave up his son on the cross so that we shall not perish, but have everlasting life, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the Lord's Supper, Jesus' meal, speaks of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. And as I shared this, I also referred to the two men at the back of the sanctuary there who gave their lives for Canada in World War I. Harry Smith was killed in action February 25, 1917. Ralph H. Edwards was killed in action October 17, 1917. It's been 101 years since they gave their lives to Canada. And Mr. Smith and Mr. Edwards used to worship and fellowship in this very sanctuary. They might have even taken communion in 1910 as part of the congregation here. But they felt the call to defend Canada in Europe, and they sacrificed their lives for Canada. They sacrificed their lives for us, so did their families. Today is November 11, 1918. It is the 100th anniversary of the armistice signed between the Allies and Germany. The agreement was signed just after 5 a.m., November 11, 1918. And it was agreed that the armistice, the laying down of rifles, weapons, and cannons, should happen on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. Thus ended the war to end all wars, as World War I is called. The war killed almost 7 million civilians and 10 million military personnel. And some historians even say that we could add another 20 million to that figure due to indirect causes. It was a costly and bloody war, World War I. And Mr. Harry Smith and Mr. Ralph Edwards from our church family gave their lives in that war. Now, what does this have to do with Pharaoh and the plagues? Pharaoh and his magicians could handle the 9 plagues which God sent on Egypt. They were stubborn and still felt that they could hang on to the slavery of Israel in Egypt, but their land becomes a war zone. And the final plague was the taking of lives, the taking of lives of the firstborn son of each family. And I have to highlight the fact that in Exodus 11, Moses does warn Pharaoh about the possible deaths of the firstborn, but Pharaoh decides to ignore Moses. And if you read the book of Exodus, you will find that the death of boys or firstborn sons does not just start at the Passover in Exodus 12. We have studied through Exodus the last few months. And in Exodus 1, we studied about how Pharaoh orders the Jewish midwives to kill Jewish baby boys as they are born. And when Pharaoh sees that his orders to these Jewish midwives are not followed, he then tells all of Egypt to throw baby boys into the river Nile. Death is very real in Egypt, in the book of Exodus. Death is very real in war. And on this Remembrance Day 2018, we pause to remember those who gave their lives for their country. But we also remember, as the book of Exodus reminds us, that human beings are capable of violence and war that cause the death of loved ones. And that's why we must remember the sacrifice of those who gave their lives in war for peace, and to pray that this peace continues, and to pray even for peace in other places of the world, places like the Middle East, places like in Africa, places like in Asia. Pray that God will bring his peace upon those situations. Let there be peace on earth. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, that you may take them from the sheep and the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. A one-year-old male lamb without physical defect is to be killed. The blood of the lamb is placed on the sides and on the tops of door frames. And when God sees the blood on the sides and the tops of the door frames, God passes over. Hence the term Passover. God passes over that home and will not kill the firstborn son of that household. The blood of that Passover lamb saves the household from doom. So Jesus is born into this world, and then just after that, when they reach 30 years of age, John the Baptist becomes a famous preacher in the desert. And one day he sees Jesus coming, and this is what it says. The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So why does John call his distant cousin Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? And then later on, John says this, I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Why is Jesus called God's chosen one? What is Jesus chosen by God to do? In the past 3 months, we've studied about the God of the burning bush. The God of the burning bush. God appears to Moses from a bush that burns on and on. And we have understood this to refer to God being the everlasting and eternal God. Moses initially refuses God's call to him to go to Egypt to liberate Israel. And you know something? God gets angry. And we studied about it in Exodus chapter 4, verse 14. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. You can't get as dramatic as that. The Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you." The God of the burning bush is also a holy God. His anger burns against Moses. Now, he could have canceled out Moses immediately, especially when Moses is showing signs of being very stubborn and having a hardened heart. But in his grace, God has mercy on Moses. And he even sends Aaron, his brother, to help Moses speak to Pharaoh, because Moses says that he is a person who is not eloquent in speech. Yes. Yes, God is a holy God. God is the God of the Passover. But also, yes, God is a God of grace. God sends Aaron to come alongside Moses to help him fulfill his call. And we need to balance between these two views of God. God is holy, God is gracious. God is light, and God is love. So it is in this context that we understand the holiness of the God of the burning bush. And now the holy God of the burning bush moves over Egypt, and if he sees the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorposts, he passes over the household. But if he does not see the blood, he slays the firstborn son of that household. The sacrifice of the Passover lamb saves that home. Without that sacrifice, the firstborn son of the home dies. Later, the Apostle Peter, the leader of the 12 apostles, the followers of Jesus Christ, describes Jesus Christ in this way. describes Jesus Christ as the ultimate Passover lamb. Can we read together Peter's reference to Jesus Christ? For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And that explanation of being a lamb without blemish or defect shows the parallel between the Passover lamb at Exodus and the Passover lamb, the ultimate Passover lamb, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ becomes our Passover lamb without blemish or defect. The victorious cross is awarded to Commonwealth soldiers who show brave courage in war. The first Canadian to be awarded the Victoria Cross in World War II was Sergeant Major John Robert Osborne for his bravery and courage in Hong Kong on December 19, 1941. This is the citation that's given over to Sergeant Major John Osborne, Robert Osborne, for receiving the Victoria Cross. At Hong Kong on the morning of 19th December 1941, a company of the Winnipeg Grenadiers, to which company Sergeant Major Osborne belonged, became divided during an attack on Mount Butler, a hill rising steeply above sea level. A part of the company led by Company Sergeant Major Osborne captured the hill at the point of the bayonet and held it for 3 hours when, owing to the superior numbers of the enemy and to fire from an unprotected flank, the position became untenable. Company Sergeant Major Osborne and a small group covered the withdrawal, and where their turn came to fall back, Osborne single-handed engaged the enemy while the remainder successfully joined the company. Company Sergeant Major Osborne had to run the gauntlet of heavy rifle and machine gun fire. With no consideration for his own safety, he assisted and directed stragglers to the new company position, exposing himself to heavy enemy fire to cover their retirement. Wherever danger threatened, he was there to encourage his men. During the afternoon, the company was cut off from the battalion and completely surrounded by the enemy, who were able to approach to within grenade throwing distance of the slight depression which the company were holding. Several enemy grenades were thrown, which Company Sergeant Major Osborne picked up and threw back. The enemy threw a grenade which landed in a position where it was impossible to pick it up and return it in time. Shouting a warning to his comrades, this gallant warrant officer threw himself on the grenade, which exploded, killing him instantly. His self-sacrifice undoubtedly saved the lives of many others. Company Sergeant Major Osborne was an inspiring example to all throughout the defense, which he assisted so magnificently in maintaining against an overwhelming enemy force for over 8.5 hours. And in his death, he displayed the highest qualities of heroism and self-sacrifice. Such was the sacrifice of Sergeant Major Osborne. His self-sacrifice undoubtedly saved the lives of many others. Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, did the same. His self-sacrifice undoubtedly saved the lives of many others. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for reminding us this morning about the sacrifice of many men and women for our country, for peace on earth. And we remember them today. And Lord, we also like to thank you for the sacrifice which our Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and the resurrection. That his self-sacrifice undoubtedly saved the lives of many others. And so, Lord, as we go on through life, let us remember our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us remember that Jesus, who's been through a lot of things for us, is able to walk with us as we go through the struggles of life. He is able to empathize with us in our times of need. So we pray as we move on from here, we pray, Lord, that you will inspire us to remember that the sacrifice of Jesus is with us even when we go through the storms of life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the people said, Amen.